From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, with all the media hype about the investigation of the special counsel, and of course its ever twisting and turning focus, are we missing a real story? President Trump and Republican senators are strategically reshaping the courts. Are we missing that? Senator Charles Grassley, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, will be here in just a moment with the answer. 10 people were killed in Friday's shooting at Santa Fe High School in Texas. At least 13 others were wounded. We'll talk about this and what we must do going forward to provide greater protection for our children with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Also, the U.S. fertility rate has fallen to a 40-year low, according to the latest figures from the Centers for Disease Control. What are the implications of fewer babies being born? We'll talk with Brad Wilcox, director of the National Marriage Project and professor of sociology at the University of Virginia and a member of the James Madison Society at Princeton. And last week, Ross, when he was filling in for me, discussed the Boy Scouts' shocking guidelines for their World Scout Jamboree. Now, some of you emailed over the weekend asking if it was really true. It is. I have the guidelines in my hands, and we'll talk about it. Also, I plan to take your calls a little later here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, well, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. All right, the media coverage is dominated with reports of the special counsel's investigation into the president. It seems to take on a new focus every day. And conservatives are frustrated with the lack of progress brought on by Democrats' obstructionism. But there might be a little bit more to the story. The president, working with GOP leaders, is quietly reshaping the extremely important Court of Appeals all across the nation. As of this broadcast, the Senate has confirmed 39 of the president's nominees, including 21 to the circuit court judges and a Supreme Court justice. Another 32 judicial nominees have been reported out of committee and are pending on the Senate floor. The committee is poised to send 11 more nominees to the floor this week. With us now is Senator Charles Grassley. He is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, glad to be with you. Thank you for having me. I haven't been on your program for a long time, and I'm glad to be with you again.
Well, it's good. It's good to have you back on, Senator. And I want to talk about this. I had dinner the other night with Senator McConnell, and we were discussing this. This story is not really being told. You're actually setting records with the number of judicial nominees that are being confirmed to the appellate courts.
We are doing that, but remember that we can't do any judges that the White House doesn't choose and send up here. So let me explain that when the Democrats tell me, like one Democrat did, we're shooting out judges like a machine gun, that quite frankly, the difference between us and the previous administration that was much slower, the White House didn't get geared up to do this. And this White House under Trump and then with his counsel, Don McGahn, are working day and night to do what needs to be done. And what we've been criticized in the past for, when we had a lot of vacancies, Democrats kept saying, well, why you ought to process these and get these vacancies filled up. That was when Obama was president. But when Trump's president and filling all these vacancies, somehow it isn't the right thing to do. But you and I know it is the right thing, and we're going to do it. And we've done it very well already. I think you gave proper numbers, roughly 30-some installed, another 30 or so on the calendar, about 40 going through our committee right now. We do not have a backlog, and our work is pretty much dependent upon what the White House does. And I think I just told you they're working in a historic fast pace.
Well, and they are, and by the way, most, and I know you know this because you're shepherding this through the process, but I've been impressed with the quality of the individuals that they have selected and nominated, people who are true to the Constitution, which is refreshing.
Very definitely. Kind of the Scalia-type people that we have Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, but we're also getting that type of people in the circuit court, and maybe even some of them in the district court. So so here's where we are from that standpoint. Another Democrat said to me something like this, that I don't want to move these judges because their ideology is so conservative, and meaning strict constructionists, because liberals want the courts to legislate. So then I said to him, well, listen, I think elections take care of this. You have 8 years of Democrats, and you get more liberal judges. You have 8 years of Trump, and you're going to get more conservative judges. And so you get balance through the electoral process.
Without question, and that is the result of elections. This administration having the right to appoint judges, the Senate then confirming them. And Senator Grassley, I want to ask you about the appellate courts, because that's where it appears that you've been focused, the administration's been focused. Explain to our listeners why the appellate courts are so important.
The appellate courts are so important because they are the court of last resort in roughly 99.5% of all the cases that are on appeal. In other words, out of I don't know how many petitions the Supreme Court gets every year, but they handle about 80. So I think that you'd find something like 2,000 plus petitions to the court to decide things. So if they only decide 80, I keep saying 8, it's 80 out of 2,000, then you can see these others are being appealed most of the time from the circuit court. Some of them, a very small number, come from the Supreme Court of the state, but most of them come from the circuit. So you can see the circuit courts are the last resort. So that's where you want strict constructionists, because the job of the court is to interpret law, not make law. My job is to make law.
Exactly. And this has, I mean, this is long lasting. I mean, we're talking about a generation that this is going to impact. And at the appellate court, that's where precedent is set that the lower courts then have to adhere to. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us, Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, who is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, my guest. Senator, I want to ask you this, because I know you've been moving at a fast pace, but you're saying it's not enough. We need to do more. And you're calling on your Senate colleagues to work weekends, to work late, and to work through the break, if necessary, in August, to clear the deck and get all of these judges through by the end of November.
And there's 16 Republican senators, I think, that have signed a letter to McConnell that he ought to cancel August break. That's our summer break. And I've said that Congress has more recesses than school children have.
Well, sometimes I wonder if the school children are bathed better. Maybe maybe the recesses aren't all that good. But you're pushing this, and what you're on track to do, you say you want to get all of these through by November. So, I mean, you're pushing this thing pretty hard.
Yeah. Now, I talked to McConnell about it, and I think I can tell you what I said, and I'll summarize what he said. And it's he's very determined to do this. But I get a little bit nervous when there's 30 on the calendar. So I've been saying, you know, you need to work Fridays, work Saturdays, Sundays if you have to. And he said, don't worry, we're going to get it done. But I think some threatening, the problem is the Democrats, not the Republicans.
Right.
They're filibustering
everything.
Do you know they even filibustered a VA bill today that we had to have a vote on to get it up so we could approve of it tomorrow. And it's probably going to pass 70 to 30. Can you believe?
But they're just trying to eat up time.
Yeah, they want Trump to fail. So here's where we are. I want the threat of working Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays And that threat, I think, is going to tame the Democrats. And,
well,
you know,
good,
like wild horses, they're just running wild. We need to do something.
Well, and keeping them busy, you know, that will be good to keep them out of trouble. One final question before I got to let you go, Senator, is, you know, we're hearing these rumors. May we see another Supreme Court vacancy anytime soon?
Well, let me tell you what I heard by rumor from somebody on the Supreme Court, that they obviously nine know each other. And it's kind of along the lines that we won't know until we read it in the newspaper. So I think I'm going to be pretty cautious about predicting when somebody's going to go. But in a large percentage of the cases, it usually happens during the month of May or June. So if it's going to happen, it should have happened yesterday, so we can get the thing processed before the election.
Because that will certainly eat up a lot of your time as chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah. But but even if we have a Supreme Court nominee, we're not going to we're going to keep processing these lower court judges.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. Senator, thanks so much for taking time to join us today. Always great to talk with you.
Well, listen, thank you for talking about an issue that they don't teach much about in high school when they teach government. Nobody knows anything about the judiciary. And for you to help us raise the alert of the people listening to you, I thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And this is critical because we've seen, you name it, you name the issue, and in the last 30 years, the court has decided it. I mean, if there's one thing the left has relied on to do their bidding, it's been the courts. I mean, I say 30 years, it's gone back even further than that. You can go back 50 years. You can go back to when the courts took prayer out of our schools, took the Bible out of our schools, then the Ten Commandments out of our schools, then thrust unrestrained abortion on the nation. And, of course, as of late, redefining marriage, 5,000 years of human history. That's all from the courts. The left could not succeed at anything without the courts. And Donald Trump has figured that out. And I will tell you, we have vetted many of these nominees, most of the nominees, they're really good at the appellate court level and obviously the Supreme Court level thus far. And we'll continue to do that. But can they do more? Absolutely. Should we push them to do more? Certainly we should. And I've been up on the Hill talking with members, and I know they're calling to eliminate the August break and work through that. And as Senator Grassley said, just the threat of having to work might make the Democrats move, which is a good thing. Anyway, this is a very positive thing because this has implications for, you know, beyond a generation. I mean, these guys, in the other strategic thing they're doing, the Trump administration doing, these are guys in their 40s, okay? So if they eat right and exercise, and go to bed on time, they might live a while. Let's hope so. Okay, when we come back, another tragic shooting, this time in Texas. We'll be joined by the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, when we return with more Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
Are you a pastor? Do you know a pastor? We want to invite pastors to Family Research Council's Watchmen on the Wall Pastors Briefing on May 23rd through 25th in Washington, D.C. The theme this year is While It Is Day, Repent, Unite, Engage. Pastors will hear from John Bevere, Michelle Bachman, Josh McDowell, Kay Arthur, Todd Starnes, congressional leaders, and others who will inform, inspire, and equip them to engage on issues relevant to today's culture. They will also enjoy a tour and reception at Museum of the Bible, a spiritual heritage tour of the U.S. Capitol, and networking with other pastors from around the nation. Registration is just $249 for first-time pastors and $299 for pastors who have attended before. FRC has limited funding to cover hotels and meal costs. For more information and to register, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit watchmanpastors.org. That's 1-800-225-4008 or watchmanpastors.org.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Yes, we're kicking off our pastors' conference. Our annual Watchman on the Wall pastors' briefing begins tomorrow. We've got pastors coming in from about 45 different states from across the country. And I got a great event planned for them. And I'll bring you some highlights of that actually next Monday. Memorial Day, we'll have some highlights of the 15th annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Conference. I think we're completely full. We might have one or two slots available for pastors in the neighborhood. We'll try to work you in, but it's looking forward to it. It's a great time as pastors get together and, you know, are challenged. And I think we're at a very critical moment in the history of our nation. And, you know, there's opportunities, lots of opportunities. So many needs. And I think, you know, oftentimes I think the church just kind of holds back. Pastors hold back. And I think the challenge is to step forward and provide leadership. And we see it. I mean, we see what's happening in our society. I mean, like this mass shooting, another one at a high school, this time in Texas, Santa Fe High School, right outside of Houston. And you see what happens in those communities like that. People turn to God. Now, there are those on the outside using this to talk about gun control. But they're in Texas. They're turning inward. They're turning into faith. And they're asking some bigger questions. And I think that's where we need to go as a nation. We need to ask bigger questions than just about the instruments of destruction. And rather, we need to go to the heart of the matter. And I think the heart is the heart of the matter. Joining us now to talk about this, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Attorney General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You know, Ken, I know that you've been very close to this, and I know the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick, has raised this issue. We've heard it over and over. You know, as those outside voices are using this to talk about gun control, I think you guys seem to be asking some bigger questions of here. What's gone wrong in our society, and what's driving these kids to do such horrible, tragic things?
Obviously, you know, we have a cultural issue, the breakdown of the family. Children living in much different circumstances than they were, you know, decades ago, and it's obviously having an impact on a wide societal level, because the incidences of this happening obviously have increased over the years. And it's otherwise, I mean, how do you explain kids wanting to go kill other kids? It's remarkable and sad.
So, I mean, you've got two issues here. One, you've got to stem it. You've got to stop. You've got to protect the kids in our schools. And so I know there's been some calls to arm and train teachers, greater protection in our schools. But then, as you said, there's the heart of the matter, and it's the cultural implications. First off, how do we get a hold of the security issue? What do we do?
Well, I think immediately you do have to start funding either law enforcement, like the Israelis do, and they've been highly successful in preventing school shootings. They used to think they had one in 1974 where 22 kids were killed and 68 injured. And so they have law enforcement, I believe, at every school, and it has made a huge difference. So we don't have the resources right away to do that, but I think a combination of law enforcement, teachers trained, administrators trained, you got to have deterrent and you got to have immediate response. And even in this case, they did have resource officers who, I think I think it was within just a couple of minutes, 4 minutes, they were able to, you know, stop this kid. Now, obviously, he still lost life, but had they not been there, how much worse could this have been?
Right. And to the issue of, you know, schools, and this issue has come up before, and that is the gun-free zones in the schools are basically an invitation to those who want to do something like this and, you know, realize they won't face resistance. I mean, that's got to be one of the things I think that has to be addressed immediately.
Well, yeah, it is. And that's what, you know, some of these schools we have in Texas, they are allowed to have teachers train, and they put up signs. I would think that alone, if you're a shooter, you're going to choose a school that doesn't have one of those signs up, because you've got the opportunity to go a lot of places where you don't have to worry about being shot, not immediately. Whereas a school that has that sign up, I would imagine that will act at least as some deterrent. And if not, at least you have a much quicker response time than waiting for law enforcement to get there, especially in some of these rural districts where it could be, you know, a long time.
And I know back when I was in the legislature in Louisiana, they had programs trying to get veterans to come back in schools and teach. And so you've got a number of veterans out there that could become these resource officers or do double duty, but could be trained to be the security on those high school campuses.
That is such a great idea. And I think you could have retired policemen and maybe retired other first responders. I mean, there's a lot of people that are retired or close to retirement that might want to transition into something like that, make a second income, and also do something really meaningful, protect the lives of our children.
So, General Paxton, the other issue, the bigger issue, the deeper issue, and that is how do we address these cultural issues that are leading to this devaluation of human life?
You know, it is a struggle because you've got so many court decisions. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court basically in the early 60s changing how our schools operate with, you know, pushing faith and religion out of schools. It's difficult to address the value issue when you can't address it with faith. I know my kids went from the public school to a private Christian school because that was my number one issue. I wanted my kids every opportunity to hear about faith and to learn about their faith so that they would have every opportunity to have that fabric in their lives. And so we've got to find some way to help families stay together and help encourage our kids in some type of morality and faith.
Yeah. And Ken, I know you know this, but even George Washington warned of this in his farewell address, that don't think you can have morality without religion. And we're seeing the effects of those courts that have kicked religion out of the public space. Attorney General Ken Paxton, as always, great to talk with you. Thank you for the work that you're doing and for fighting to uphold those constitutional freedoms that are so critical to our country.
Well, thank you for having me on. Keep us in your prayers.
All right. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And he really, he's one, he also took on Planned Parenthood down there in Texas. A great guy. Those of you in Texas, fortunate to have him. All right. When we come back, the fertility rate in the United States is on the decline. Good thing, bad thing? We'll talk about it with Brad Wilcox next. Don't go away.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Again, so glad to have you with us. The website, tonyperkins.com. Okay. The Center for Disease Control has released its latest report on American fertility patterns. The U.S. fertility rate has plunged to its lowest point in four decades. Now, why does that matter? Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Well, we're going to talk about it. And joining us now to discuss this, Brad Wilcox, Senior Fellow at the Institute for Family Studies and Visiting Scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Brad, good to have you back on the program. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Tony.
Brad, you shocked by these numbers that the fertility rate has dropped to about 1.76% per woman?
Yeah, you know, it's. I think it is surprising because typically when the economy is improving, we see the birth rate ticking upwards. But since 2014, the economy and the birth rate have been going in different directions. And so even though the economy has been improving since 2014, we've seen the fertility rate keep dropping. So it's kind of, you know, we're kind of in a new moment here, Tony.
And you mentioned the economic issues. It appears, as you dive into the what's causing the decline in the fertility rate, that it's not driven by economic issues.
You know, I think there may be some residual kind of worries on the part of millennials today, younger adults today, you know, about sort of their economic future, just given the Great Recession. So I think it's still part of the mix. But I think beyond that, what we're seeing is that millennials today are having more difficulty forming real relationships, dating, marrying, and then, of course, having kids. So a lot of the story here is that millennials are not dating, they're not getting married, and then, of course, they're not having kids. So that's a big part of the story that we're seeing play out, I think, here right now in America.
Now, Brad Wilcox, there's some good things in here. Number one, we're seeing that the birth rate among youngest women, it has declined. Never married women. That's the kind of, and some of those are good things. But we're seeing this with women in their 30s, which is, you know, those are the key childbearing years. And so unless they're going to get really aggressive in their 40s, we've got a long-term problem.
Yeah, no, that's right. And there's definitely good news here and bad news. And the good news is the teen pregnancy is down and nominal childbearing is down. You know, for many years, as you know, people thought that those two things couldn't be could not be addressed in any meaningful way. But we have seen teen pregnancy come down since 1990, and since the recession, we've seen the ratio of kids born outside of marriage also decline. That's a big change in our culture. And part of what's happening here is that younger women are being more, you know, cautious and prudent about having a baby, and that's in many ways, I think, a good thing. But the bad news, I think, here is, as you were saying, is that we're seeing dramatic declines for women in their late 20s and 30s. And, you know, those are classically prime childbearing years. And I think a lot of these young women sort of feel like they can't find, you know, the right partner, or they're not dating the right person, and or otherwise reluctant to get married. And I think there is a kind of a growing problem with younger adults having kind of the ability, the opportunity, and sometimes, you know, the courage to go, you know, date and find a spouse. That's you know, certainly part of what's happening today in America.
So, Brad, what's the downside here? I mean, we're always told we're overpopulated. I mean, if you try to get a parking spot at Walmart, it's kind of a challenge. So is a declining population, is that a problem?
Yeah, we're not going to be declining anytime soon in the U.S., given immigration. But if this pattern continues, we could see, you know, long-term declines in population. And we're also going to have a harder time kind of manning our economy, you know, so to speak. And just to give you kind of one concrete example, the Social Security trustees have this report that they put out that is sort of designed to figure out how much you have to pay into the system to keep it afloat. And their lower bound estimate for fertility in the future is 1.8. And that's not what they're expecting. They're expecting more like 2.0 in terms of the number of babies born from an average. But right now we're at 1.76, and I think we're going to go lower than that in the future. So this kind of trend is going to put real pressure on, you know, on the workforce and on the public purse, because we're not going to have enough people in the workplace. We're not going to have enough taxpayers. And then I think more fundamentally, there are going to be questions about, you know, are women having the kids that they wanted to have? Our grandparents having the grandchildren that they wanted to have? You know, these more kind of fundamental family questions are, of course, also very important too.
Right. The non-tangible. I mean, you can't put a price tag on having a family.
Exactly.
And leaving a legacy. These are critical things. And there's a policy aspect. Our policy should be encouraging marriage, childbearing, because that is, in fact, the future health of our country depends on that.
Right, and that's why the debate that we had, you know, a number of months ago about the child tax credit with Marco Rubio and his colleagues was, I think, important, and why, you know, we can be hopefully more in the future to make, you know, make family life a bit more affordable by having, you know, the U.S. Congress do more to recognize that families are really, you know, they're producing the future citizens, the future employees, the future employers, future taxpayers, you know, this country, and as such, you know, they should have a little bit more leeway to, you know, keep the dollars that they earn in the family so they can support their kids as they raise the next generation.
It's our future. Brad Wilcox, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on today, Tony. Appreciate it.
All right, folks. I think this is a big deal, okay? Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and look at the work that Brad has done on this issue. All right, don't go away because we're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Are you a pastor? Do you know a pastor? We want to invite pastors to Family Research Council's Watchmen on the Wall Pastors Briefing on May 23rd through 25th in Washington, D.C. The theme this year is While It Is Day, Repent, Unite, Engage. Pastors will hear from John Bevere, Michelle Bachman, Josh McDowell, Kay Arthur, Todd Starnes, congressional leaders, and others who will inform, inspire, and equip them to engage on issues relevant to today's culture. They will also enjoy a tour and reception at Museum of the Bible, a spiritual heritage tour of the U.S. Capitol, and networking with other pastors from around the nation. Registration is just $249 for first-time pastors and $299 for pastors who have attended before. FRC has limited funding to cover hotels and meal costs. For more information and to register, call 1-800-2222. 1-800-225-4008 or visit watchmanpastors.org. That's 1-800-225-4008 or watchmanpastors.org.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-APATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
You are listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, glad to have you with us. We're going to go to the phone lines here in just a moment. So let me give you that number, 866-372-7234. Covering a lot. If you're like me and you can't keep focus on any one thing, well, this is the program to listen to because we cover it all. We cover the landscape. I want to go back. I was informed that I misstated when I introduced Brad Wilcox. When I talked about the 1.76, I said percent. It's not a percent. It's the birth rate is 1.76 children per woman in America. That's what that breaks down to. Now, put that in comparison to where we were in the 1960s. That's just slightly before I came along in the early 1960. It was 3.65 children per woman. That's declined down today to 1.76. Now, you say, oh, what's the big deal? Well, to have a sustainable birth rate, meaning that you are replacing, all right, the people who live here on this earth, you have to have in an industrialized, developed country like the United States, it's 2.1. So just to maintain where we are, you've got to have, 2.1 children per woman. Now, you see this in Europe, and Brad mentioned this. I didn't have time to go into it, but he talked about if it weren't for immigration, we would not be able to sustain the population. That's what's happening in Western Europe, where they have, their child bearing has been in decline for some time, and it's created a vacuum for workers. And so what's happened is immigrants have come in, and in that particular case, you see a lot of those in the Muslim world moving in. And so you see Western Europe losing its Christian identity. This has long-term implications for a lot of things. All right, I mentioned I think it was on Friday, Russ Jones filling in for me, as he does on every Friday, was talking about the Boy Scouts guidelines for the Jamboree, the World Scout Jamboree, which is going to be held. These guidelines, I think, were affecting the one that's going to be held in West Virginia. Now, I got the emails, and I said, now, Ross, what have you been doing, making stuff up? And so I went, and I did my own research, okay? And I do that because, you know, we're not going to give you anything here that's not true, all right? But I'll have to tell you, when I saw what was said, I said, man, that's pretty far-fetched. So I went over the weekend, and I got the guidelines myself, and I'm holding them in my hands, okay? All 15 pages. And I went further than that because, you know, when it's on the internet, you never know if somebody's trying to pull your leg and putting a hoax out there. So I actually contacted those that are connected with the Boy Scouts and said, hey, is this the real deal? Are you guys, what is this? The answer, it's real. I'm going to read for you. And I'm just going to read it. Then I'll provide my commentary. All right, this is on page 11, and you can Google this and find it yourself, okay? It's out there on the internet. This is section 7.3, specific health matters, all right? Local legislation relating to the illegality of drug possession and or consumption shall apply to the jamboree. I said no commentary, but we're good so far, okay? In all cases, possession and or consumption of any of the following substances at the jamboree shall be strictly forbidden. Amphetamine. Type stimulants, cannabis, cocaine, opioids, other psychoactive substances. The abuse of volatile solvents shall also be strictly forbidden. Leave the paint can at home. The use of alcohol shall not be permitted on the jamboree site. Some exceptions may be made for adults in confined areas. Maybe that's their pup tent, I don't know. In accordance with the host country's habits. Alcohol consumption may not affect the ability of any adult on site to carry out their assigned role. Adults may not interact with participants when affected by alcohol. We're good so far. The use of any tobacco product shall be strongly discouraged. Smoking shall be confined to specific areas. Again, we're doing pretty good. All right, here we go to the final paragraph of section 7.3. The host organization must ensure that condoms are readily and easily accessible for all participants at the IST at a number of locations on the site. Heads of contingent must be informed in advance and made aware of their responsibility in communicating this policy to their participants, unit leaders, contingent staff, and IST in an appropriate way. When making this information available on site, consideration shall be given to the various cultures and beliefs present. Wait a minute. We're told that no alcohol. Alcohol's bad. We're not going to. Adults can do it because they're old enough, but it's got to be confined. And once they do it, they cannot interact with the participants. No tobacco products. No drugs. It's all bad. Condoms have to be on every corner. What is this? This is crazy. This is the Boy Scouts. This is the result of losing your moral compass. By the way, Rex Tillerson was at the head when they did it. When they opened the door to homosexuality, then they opened the door to homosexual scout leaders, then they said, well, you know, you can be whatever you want to be. Now they've lost the term boys. Can you imagine? You're sending your kids off to a Boy Scout jamboree, and they've got to make sure that condoms are readily and easily accessible for all participants. For what for? There's only one thing they're used for. How sad. How sad that an institution that has such a storied existence, over 100 years old, and has helped so many young men make that journey to manhood, and they have lost their way. See, this is the issue. When you reject morality and objective truth, there's no telling where you will end up. And that's today's Boy Scouts. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Lonnie in Nebraska. Lonnie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, glad to be able to comment there, Tony. I was just figuring in the fact of 36 million babies have been aborted, somewhat 36 million, maybe even more, I don't know, in this country, and where would that put us? You know, if we added in this 36 million taxpayers and workers to our workforce, would that birth rate?
Lonnie, a great point, Lonnie. Be? Well, it certainly would move us a lot closer, and there's no question. And that's one thing nobody wants to talk about, you know. But say again, Lonnie.
I said absolutely. Nobody seems to want to talk about that, Tony. And you know, I think that's one of the most important things that we ought to be talking about is overturning Roe v. Wade and stopping this hideous abortion stuff. You know, if I done to a dog what they do to those children, they'd throw me in prison.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would. Lonnie, thank you for the call. And let me just say this. It's more than just the abortion numbers. I mean, obviously, you add those numbers, those missing Americans, and our birth rate would be higher. But it's also the message we send about children and childbirth, period. As if, you know, it's something to be avoided. Now, obviously, there's good news in this, as we were talking with Brad, that there's a decline in the teenage pregnancy. That's good. There's also a decline in teenage abortion, which is good. A lot of this, the abstinence message is catching on. You can challenge kids to be pure. In fact, they want to be. We're afraid to, because I think in part, I think the older generation doesn't want to because they were not, I mean, there was a lot more sexual liberalism in the 60s and 70s, and we're seeing that didn't work. And I don't know, it's almost like we're afraid to challenge younger generations because I don't know. It's just really weird. But I think if we can challenge them not to smoke, not to do drugs, we can challenge them not to have sex until they're married. And then those programs are showing statistically that they work when you do challenge them. Lonnie, thanks so much for the call. By the way, Lonnie, there's good news here on the courts. And this is what's driving the left crazy. When you look at the president's appointees to the courts, nominees confirmed by the Senate, they're strict constructionist, as Senator Grassley was pointing out. That means one more nomination to the Supreme Court, I think we'll see Roe v. Wade overturned. And I think it goes back to the states, and we've seen the majority of the states, vast majority of the states, pro-life. We will move this nation back to being a predominantly pro-life nation. All right, let's go to Julie in Oklahoma. Julie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show. I listen every day on my way home from work. This topic you were talking about today has got me sick. How would I even hear about these things if it wasn't for you? I'm serious. Condoms at a jamboree.
Yeah, I didn't believe it. I had to read it myself. Because this is so outlandish.
If you hadn't listed all those things that they're not allowing, and then to allow that, it's just beyond comprehension.
It is. It is. And every parent, I'm telling you right now, every parent out, just like I say about the public schools, parents, you're responsible. And I was a Cub Scout, Weeblos. I believe in scouting. I'm a Marine. I love the outdoors. I think it's great to teach kids these things. But there's an alternative now, Trail Life USA. And pastors,
yeah, is the Rangers still around?
Yeah, the Rangers are down. And I actually did, you know, taught one of those classes back when I was years ago. But I will say that they they're all good. I'm not going to say anything bad about them. But Trail Life USA is a good. No, I wouldn't even say replacement of Boy Scouts. I think it's better. I think it's better. It's challenging physically, but mentally and spiritually it's challenging. Well, that's
I mean, there's so many better than the scouts.
But this, Julie, this shows, Julie, what happens when you reject right and wrong.
Exactly. I've been waiting 2 days for the Oklahoma City to call me back, and I had to go through a lot of different people and phone numbers to get the right person, and I ended up being transferred to the transportation department of the school system because I'm going to complain about putting the school buses in the gay pride parade in June.
Well, as you should.
First of all, school's out of session. Second of all, they've been striking like crazy in Oklahoma City for the school teachers and stuff. There's no reason for us to have buses, school buses, in the Oklahoma City Gay Pride Parade.
Wow. It never ceases to amaze me. Julie, thanks so much for listening, and thanks for calling in. Thank you for being a faithful listener. All right, I've got to work another call here. Let's go to Jerry in Texas. Jerry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Doug.
Jerry, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say I appreciate you, sir, and I just wanted to say, you know, I was with Boy Scouts for a long time with my son, and whenever they first changed to where we could have the homosexual scouts, I stayed as a leader because I thought, you know, this young man that shows up and thinks that he's this, you know, he's going to need a man to teach him better, and so I stayed. But whenever they changed over to allowing the leaders to be homosexuals, I just had an issue with, you know, telling my son, hey, when he tells you how to be safe around fire, listen. When he teaches you how to shoot a shotgun, listen. When he, you know, teaches you how to put up a tent or tie knots, listen. But ignore his husband. You know, my boys had a problem with that just as much as I did. And so we went to Trail Life, and it was an amazing difference being able to just be in a Christ-centered organization and being able to serve the Lord, preach, you know, the gospel every single meeting, be able to pray with these young men. It was an amazing change. And, I mean, I just love it. So anyone that's out there looking for the alternative, go to Trail Life. It's an amazing discipleship program as well as all of the other stuff that scouting was built around. So
Jerry. Thank you, Jerry, and you're absolutely right. It is a good program, and it's a great tool for churches that a lot of churches have chartered these Boy Scouts troops, and this is a good replacement. It's a good outreach, and Jerry's absolutely right. We need an organization that helps these boys make that transition, and all of those that are struggling with different issues. It's a great opportunity. Folks, out of time. Thanks so much for listening. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow night. I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.